Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive. The message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, we pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, we do our best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you're having the comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we can get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So this is a blessed Friday. And for those of you follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know that means Love Thy Neighbor segment. And once again, we thank God for all of you that are listening far and near. May the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Brother Patch, my brother on here. God bless you, brother. How you doing?
Okay. I just been sipping on my tea on my lemon and vinegar and green tea, and it's keeps me smiling. So I'm grateful for God has provided good health substance for us, and I'm grateful for the leaves for the healing. So I'm grateful that I enjoy my herbal tea, and you know, it keeps my health and keeps me well, along with my faith and prayers. All right. We're on the Talk Block Radio tonight. My Lord, with grace, may abound, and the Holy Spirit help us. We submit to you and dedicate this hour to you. Okay. I guess Sister Anderson, and she's probably sitting with Brother Anderson there during his recovery. And Emmanuel, you know, he had to run to the hospital.
I heard about that last night. And I started praying for our brother after I got off the phone with Sister Anderson.
Well, the Lord, our faith touched that his recovery will be ongoing and good for his recovery. Thank God. Okay. Well, anyway, any of the sisters, I guess they still, what is this, Friday? Oh, yeah, they're just getting off. The Friday evening. Friday is when I'm busy, easy, with 5-day week program. Families and loved ones and shopping and traffic and food. And so it's a busy, busy 5-day week when people are working. And I was just thinking about the opportunity that God has given us, that he has given us the opportunity to speak to the nations of the earth. And, you know, when your relationship with Jesus started, your journey began, you just don't know exactly where it's going to lead to and what's going to open to you to reach to many people. And it's, you always think in your mind that somebody can do it much better. And I was so like, I said, Lord, you got a lot of people can do it much better than me. I mean, you got hundreds and thousands of people. But thank God he doesn't choose it. He doesn't choose people by what we think and how we think. He chooses the least. Sometimes he chooses the least of us to do even the most of us. So I'm grateful that I'm partakers of his grace, and I have the opportunity to share this hour to reach into the nations of the earth. So thank God. I guess one of the sisters will pop up sooner or later. And we thank God that that Jesus is still alive. Until they show up, I'm going to consider this an hour of gratefulness and thankfulness and to give God the glory and honor for his only begotten gift to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift given to mankind. The greatest event, the two greatest events, his birth and his resurrection. And I'm grateful that these two events is on the mainstream being taken to the world, his birth, his ministry, and his resurrection. Now, there is a preparation for his second coming, and that's called the Midnight Cry, Matthew 25. And Midnight Cry, people read that Jesus spoke of this 10 virgins, and the last call referred to as the Midnight Cry. And so we're on the Talk Block Radio. We're loving our neighbor as ourselves to declare the last warning spoken by Jesus called the 12th hour. So I was hoping that the sister's going to be there. The handmaidens tonight was going to be there. Time of stirring up their gift. I want to say to all the people that are listening, we appreciate you and value. If you have questions, prayer requests, you want to text or whatever the what they got these, whoever's listening, you're welcome to text and ask a question, a prayer request, or a testimony of something that you want to know what we said. Everything we said on this broadcast, we don't tell you just take it at our word. We don't say you have to take it, but be very wise. Follow the scriptures we said, test everything to see what source and when it comes from. Put it to the test. You just have to believe me. I'm a prophet. I'm this, I'm that. No, no. Jesus warned us in the end time there will be much false deception, antichrist, false prophet, false Christian, false religion. So we want you to know, test. Put everything we say and do, put to test, the scripture test. Hallelujah. And I was thinking as a few minutes ago, by the way, I was just, I have a taste a lot of times for Japanese yams. And I was thinking about how we misunderstand the part of the purpose of Lord, that Lord intend for us to enjoy life. And I was thinking about that. I was working on my, the Lord intend made us to know joy and enjoy our time upon the earth. And most, I talk to a lot of Christians, and they think differently because they don't have a comprehension of God's complete will about our stay on this earth. Not only does he give us joy, the unspeakable joy, but he wants us to have joy of life and enjoy our time on this earth because the earth is the Lord and he originally gave it. So I think Christians think that, Lord, whatever ministry you have, God given to you, but our life as believers is to enjoy and know joy and share the joy of the Lord. So I just enjoyed life. Sometimes I enjoy a state, and maybe people think that God wants us to be miserable and sad, oppressed, and not enjoy life. Just spend our days here, well, just being religious-minded and thinking that God does not want us to have the joys of life. If there's joy in heaven, in every move there's joy, then he intended what he said, when, as it is in heaven, let it be on the earth. So we are to enjoy Jesus, enjoy the saints, the fellowship, enjoy our life in this earth. We are to enjoy every aspect, time and a season to everything under the sun. Wow. What is he trying to tell us? To everything, there's a time and a season, Ecclesiastes says. So, I take time out to enjoy. Sometimes we don't enjoy our children. We don't take time to enjoy our families. Sometimes we're so busy we don't enjoy the things of this life. And most people got this idea that if you enjoy life, it's sin. that sin is the only thing that God does not introduce us to sin. He introduced us to this life that we may know the blessing and the joys of life. That as a believer, not only do I have the joy of the Lord, but the joy of living and being
Amen.
A joyful, joyful, hopeful, loving believer. So I just enjoy some Japanese yams today. So some people can say, oh, you're being carnal-minded. Well, you can call it whatever you want. Jesus took time to eat and went to dinner and went to weddings. But he never stepped outside of the boundary. Wherever he went to weddings, he went to feast days, he showed up, he went to marriages, he even took time to go to dinner with Zacchaeus, said, I'm going to have dinner with you today, or supper with you, if yes. We're going to go to your house and have supper with you today. That he was not so much heavenly minded that he did bring heaven to the earth to meet the needs of people. They were hungry. Hey, you don't need no food. Get your mind on heaven. Get your mind. You have all you want when you get to heaven. What did Jesus say? Feed them.
Yeah.
Clothe them. Meet their needs. Let them have the joy that God's concerned about their life in this earth, in their family, in their business. And I understand better now. I understand as I get older in the Lord that the Lord intends us to walk in liberty, peace, and know the joys of relationship. People on the job, sinners and godly people. Hallelujah. One of my best friends was a, quote, sinner. But every time I need something special, he would show up. And he was a friend. Now, friendship is one of the greatest gifts that God gives his people. Friendship in Christ, friendship out of the Lord. That doesn't lead us to sin, but being a witness to them and being an example to those we are friends to. Always not crossing the bound, but staying in Christ. So I'm grateful that one of my best friends, when I came to the Lord, he was one of my best friends, and anytime, anywhere I need him, he would come in the midnight hour. Any rain or snow. Willie, I need you. Come get me. He'll get out of the bed. And I can't say that about all the saints, the people that are so spiritual-minded. I'm grateful for them, their fellowship. But this friend, Jesus elevated his disciples and called them friends. There's a reason. He elevated them from servanthood, discipleship, and he said, you are my friends if you do whatever I say. He elevated them to friendship. And I thank God that he's teaching us. Now, we want to say to the world that's listening today, the people in the world, those that are redeemed, those that are in different religions, those in different under different governments, those in terrible, awesome situations, that the gospel of Christ is the only thing that's going to bring you through not only to your relationship with Christ, but knowing complete victory why this world is in chaos. Because the world is in chaos, that don't mean for his people to be in chaos. The people are oppressed. They're confused. That don't mean for the God of people to be confused. The people are worried and anxiety. And some of them are justified by how they're going to live, how they're going to feed their children. Are they in crime? Are the children in jail? Are they near starvation, eviction? That doesn't mean for the people of the Lord to be in that situation. They don't have to be. But the Lord is your provider. So we can live without worry. I know some people, they specialize in worrying about everything. But Jesus said, be anxious for nothing, Philippians said. Worry not. Worry not.
fret not, even of evildoers. And we're going to meet people who do evil and wicked, traitors who turn against us. He said, fret not because of evildoers. He said, don't let it worry, don't fret. Just bury yourself and forgive them and pray for them. That's the victory I want you to show them. Forgive them and pray for them and love them in spite of what they've done to you. Now, Jesus wanted to show the God side. And so when our enemies are people who misuse and mistreat us, he wants us to show the Jesus side to us. Not in the church when we come on Sunday and shout and jump and do all the gift things, but outside of the church is where Jesus wants to be seen. See, when people come to worship and gather together to learn of the Lord, that's basically great, wonderful. But when you step outside of the building or the gathering, that's where Jesus wants to be seen, want to be heard, and want to be revealed. Because everywhere Jesus went, somebody had something to say. Why are you eating with sinners? Why are you talking to that woman? It's unlawful for you to do. Why are you breaking the Sabbath? And it confuses people, the Sabbath keeper, that Jesus continually broke the Sabbath, Old Testament. He continued to do things that was unlawful under the law. But he broke the Sabbath. And they don't understand why. They try to cover up, be careful. But this is just the will and the mind of God. So today, I'm going to speak on or share this. Every nation of the earth, in Matthew's turn, every nation in the earth is now in chaos and confusion and war. Now, what does that mean? Where do the saints, the blood-washed, redeemed saints of God stand in the midst of a fallen world that's crumbling before our eyes? Crime and hatred against one another, against nations, communities, racism, bias, is now at the epic stage when Jesus said the earth will be filled with violence, Genesis 6, as it was in the days of Noah. Chicago, where I live it, they got so much shooting and crime going on here, you would think that we was over in Iraq or Iran somewhere. And it's escalating. And it's getting worse every day. It's killing every day. Just who doing all this carjacking and stealing, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. No, I didn't make no mistake. They just arrested a young man, carjacking, and he killed him. He was 13 when he did it, 15 today. This is happening every day. In the civilized United States, once a great Christian nation, in our major cities, the crime is epic. The violence, the hatred is epidemic. So where do the saints? Are the saints to walk in fear? They're to walk wisely and in cautious in faith. Because the evil is great in the earth, we got to demonstrate to the earth, to all those outside, that Jesus is a preserver and a keeper, that we don't walk in foolishness or vanity of our mind, but we walk in complete faith that he is able to keep us in the midst of evil. That's why he said, fear no evil. My rod and thy staff is with thee. So while the world is falling, we are concerned about the people who are in darkness, but we're walking in a security. Now, if the saints don't have security, who should have security of mind? That's what I want to know. Who should have peace in the midst of confusion and chaos? My peace I give unto you. Jesus said in John 14, my peace, not as the world, but my peace I give unto you, not as the world which you live in. My peace surpasses all understanding of men. Let not your heart be troubled, many people are stressed out. I mean, terror. But I'm talking mostly to a lot of the nations of the earth called as third world nations. They're in, have a justified reason for war, and chaos is on every hand. Drought, hunger, no pure water, no rain, violence escalating, armies overthrowing governments. So, now Jesus said, when he walked up on the water, he said to his disciples, they saw him walking up on the water, listen, I want you to know that you have dominion and power. And he demonstrated to him when he walked on the waters to rule, to reign. And when Jesus, they saw him, they was afraid, a ghost. Jesus said, I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit, no imagination, but I want you to show you that you can have dominion and you can have power over every situation in this life. He demonstrated them when they was in the boat and the waters came into the boat and Jesus was fast asleep. And the storm was so ferocious that it got into the boat and they were sinking. And they said to Jesus, don't you care? Don't you concern that we are sinking? We're about to die? And he demonstrated to them. He spoke to the wind and spoke to the waves and commanded them. This is the same authority and dominion that he wants us to have as believers to show the people today that the just shall live by faith and not by sight nor by fear. And Jesus spoke to the elements and said to the wind, cease. To the waves, cease and be still. And the disciples were amazed, for they were still in training, and he was trying to teach them something. That they were to live their lives without fear, without worry and anxiety. For I give you authority and power over all the powers of the enemy, over the elements, and in the earth. So the just shall live completely by faith and wisdom. So listen. We're not to live in fear and apprehension. We're to be concerned, deeply concerned about the people who are walking in darkness who are not redeemed. But every day of lives, we're not to come out and say, I think it's so terrible. I can't go to the grocery store. I can't go to my job. So many people are under the oppression because they have no covenant. Promise that I will keep you though you walk through the valleys of the shadows of death. I will preserve your going and your coming. Blessed be the rock of our salvation. All right then. Now, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is the Lord your provider? Because people are over the world, there's much starvation. The land is cursed. The nations are cursed. And the people don't understand that why these many nations are going through this judgment. Because the land they live in, one of the reasons why they're going through, that God may humble the nation, because they heard the gospel during the first, second, or third, sixth century, and they have rejected the gospel that was first declared to them by the early apostles, turned to idolatry, so the land is cursed. So the judgment is coming upon all the nations in the latter days to humble them. They return to the true and living God. The word of God will have been sown. The blood of the martyrs have been over these nations in centuries. The blood has been shed, and the blood is upon all of these nations. They have killed God's saints, many of them. But there's honest hard people among them who are searching and crying out. That's why these nations are suffering. That's why the Jews are suffering. People wonder why the Jews, they're God's chosen, elect people, why are they suffering? Because, 23rd chapter, Matthew's and 8th chapter of John, he tells us the reason. when they rejected Jesus as the Messiah and killed him, they said, let his blood be upon our children. Let his blood be upon us and our children. They killed the Messiah. They rejected the holy prophets. And so now they're reaping the whirlwind. But they're not going to be destroyed because God made a promise to Abraham. You are my people, and your seed is my people, and I will deliver them, even in their rebellion. So America must stand for Israel. Scripture says much about Israel and the 12 tribes, and it says America, when you see America turn its back on Israel as a nation and a people, you know that America is getting ready to be invaded. Now, is America there to forsake Israel and turn its back on helping Israel as an alliance nation? If Iran, it says in the scripture, if Iran starts ruffling her feathers, then you know we're near the outbreak of world war. To hear good news, so I'm just giving you the good news. But the saints don't fear. They pray and intercede and fast for the nations of the earth. Lord, say to the uttermost. Lord, deliver. Open the eyes. The everlasting gospel. And people wonder, why is we talking about an angel bringing the everlasting gospel, the midnight cry? Why are we talking about, why are we not talking about a rapture that we're about to go up in a minute? Yeah, that sounds real good. I can admit that that sounds very tasty, that the saints just going to be snatched up out of the midst of. We are now in tribulation, and they know it not. And they're waiting for the rapture. And that sounds really good, that term rapture, to escape all the tribulation, our great tribulation that's coming aboard. Right now, we're right at the door. We're facing, hallelujah, the sign of Iran getting ready to declare total war against Israel. That's a definite scriptural sign. Hamas, Hezbollah, and all the terrorists of Islam, Iran, and communists take over Jerusalem. That's Satan's main goal. That's Satan's main goal. Satan has three main goals: destroy Christianity and the Bible, destroy and capture Jerusalem and the Jews, annihilate them, and cause America to forsake the gospel, invade America spiritually, and cause America to turn her back on the principles of the Bible. And Satan knows, whenever Israel did against the living God, Israel is the example. When they turned their back on Jehovah and his laws, what happened to them? God gave them over to their enemies temporarily. So America, as a nation corporately, is turning it back on the Bible, on Jesus, the foundation. That's why she's in trouble. So what do we got to pray and fast and pray? Revival and spiritual awakening. In the last days, I pour out my spirit. If America is to be delivered, if any nation is to be delivered, it's going through the power of the gospel and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus exalted once again. Well, anyway, I guess the sister's going to be busy today.
Well, yes, sir. Brother, I guess so. Normally, you know, they'd be on, but.
Yeah, normally they do. Well, maybe they might not know that we're back on the air because we've been off for about a week. We've been off the air for about a week. And it's funny, whenever you get ready to speak on a certain thing, something go wrong with the network. Isn't that strange?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's by chance or accident. You know, the devil is going to be the prince of the second heaven, the prince of the air, you know. Up the airway, the second heaven. That's why he do his work from the second heavens. And he operates from the second heaven. He operates on the earth. He sends the demons and princes over the territories of the earth. So So we're contending with principalities and powers. And this is their last. You heard about Custer's last stand, outnumbered by, what, I don't know, 3,000 or 10,000 Indians. And he had about, what, 300 and some men or 700 men or whatever. And he was outnumbered 10 to 1. And it was Custer's last stand. And they called it Custer's last stand. And America, the wonderful, great, blessed, bounty nation, the most blessed nation in the earth on the last days, the most chosen bounty, choice land in all the earth in the latter days, the land most beautiful, have forsaken its God. And the God that established this land, the name of the Lord Jesus. All right. Let's see about establishing a truth. How do the Lord establish things? I want to read something here. The Bible says in 18:1, in everything, in spiritually, even in the natural world, there must be a confirmation, an affirmation of one, two, or three witnesses. Why the Lord established that spiritual verification in the mouth of two or three witnesses? Even in the order of judicial in the government, where's your other witnesses to confirm what you're saying? Have you got somebody else to confirm what you're saying? Did somebody else see it? Yeah, I saw, but have you got anyone to back you up? So the principle of how the Lord has worked from the beginning of the world, always by two or three. Now, we can prove this principle by the creation of the earth, the wind, the earth, the fire, and everything. And he put his hand step in the human creation. We are made of three parts. Is that right? Human beings are made of three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5. We are one person, but how are we confirmed in the image of God? Spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. He always does things in the order of the creation of the world and everything, both earthly and spiritual. So let's see. When God establishes a revelation or a truth or a work, it has to be established. Confirmation, verification, two or three or more. Now, that we've got, in the United States government, it's established three branches of government. It was three branches of government, three points, parts of our government. Because one must balance out the other. When the Lord operates in the earth, he operates as a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit, confirming that all things must be confirmed by the two or three. Now, I know there's one God, one true God, but he confirmed his existence in three distinct ways. See, he doesn't leave the order that he's for the beginning. He continues it all the way to dealing with man. Three, two, or three, brother. Two or three. Now, let's see how he established a revelation truth. Some things are temporal, then some things are eternal. Some things are natural, some things are spiritual. Some things are up and some things are down. Some things are in and out. Some things of Satan, of man, or of the devil. Mouth of two or three witnesses in everything. So let's see. When the Lord spoke and said, let there be, the person that was hovering over the earth was the Holy Spirit, and he was the one that carried it out.
Amen.
Now, oh, there you are, sister.
Goodness. Amen.
How y'all doing? Okay.
Doing good.
Hallelujah. I wait on you, children. Glad to hear your
Amen.
Voice. Mm-hmm. Handmaiden. So let's lift our hands to Brother Anderson and Brother Emmanuel. In Jesus' authoritative power and name.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
To lift our hands.
Yes, Lord.
We lift our faith.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We lift our hands through the blood of Christ.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Through the blood that was spilled to heal and deliver. Blood
yes,
of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
All right. 39 stripes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Emmanuel, our brother. And Sister Anderson.
Yes, Lord.
And Brother Anderson being renewed.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Renewed in spirit and body.
Yes, Lord
and
Jesus.
Rising. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Amen.
All right. I was talking about how God never changes. You know the Bible said God never changes?
Amen.
And Hebrews that God never changes, and Malachi 3 is unchanging. We have to understand what he means. His character, his nature cannot change.
Amen.
For example, his love never changes.
Amen.
His holiness, his righteousness ways never change.
Amen.
He speaks things temporal, and he speaks things that are eternal.
Amen.
He never changed his way.
Amen.
And his plan of eternal salvation has never changed.
Amen.
Now, we come into a lot of days, and people are trying to change Jesus and his plan into something else. They take away, they add to it. They put that way. And so we got apostasy in Christianity and separation because man and Satan has intervened to take away and add their stuff into it. Now.
Amen.
How's the Lord going to feel to all of this? How's the Lord going to sift between the wheat and the tares? We're speaking to nations of the earth who are chaos and falling. Because the time that Jesus prophesied in the prophets that the time of the end of the nations and Satan rule must come to an end. It's happening now. All governments and nations are coming to fall because the kingdom of God must come. The kingdom of our Lord must come. And people looking at what's going on? The kingdom of this world, the kingdom of man, the rule of Satan must come to an end.
Amen.
And then coming what? The kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. As Hebrews, as Revelation 11 and 12 says, Daniel 7, Daniel 2, the kingdom of Lord must roll and fill the earth. This is the time of the kingdom of our Lord. The Lord our Christ, the Redeemer, this is the time of the saints' reign and rule, and Christ coming. So the kingdom of this world is coming to an end. Coming to an end. Got to come to an end. I don't care what they profit up with. I don't care what kind of law they do. I don't care how many buildings they build. I don't care how many laws they pass. If they don't repent and return to Jesus, it's going to come quicker than they think. Now, this is the coming to the seventh day. 6 days, 6,000 years, the kingdom of man through the fall of Adam. God gave him 6 days, 6,000 years.
Amen.
Is a number, they say, of man, but it's also the number of the devil. Six represents. But the seventh day is the perfect day of the Lord, which is 7,000 years, the seventh day. We're about to come to the seventh day. The 1,000-year reign, the seventh day, called the Sabbath. The 1,000 years is called the Sabbath of the Lord. Now, the day of rest. Let's see how God's going to confirm that he's about to do this. Jesus is about to come. How is he going to confirm this? He's going to confirm this. Let's go back. When Jesus was born, as you read Luke and Matthew, he confirmed his birth. You always do it by two or threes. When Jesus' birth came about, he witnessed to the three wise men who came from the end of the earth.
one of the wise men came from Iran or Persia. One came from Ethiopia. And one came from the other part of the world. Three.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he? We have seen his star. We come.
Mm-hmm.
How did they know that the king of the Jews was going to be born? These people were supposed to be heathens. There was not service of the God of Israel, as we know. How do they comprehend? God can do things that confound us. How do they know? They were not a part of Israel.
Amen.
Three wise men came one. Then he, in Luke 2, he says, the shepherds were keeping their sheep by night.
Mm-hmm.
Here come angels from the heaven making an announcement, a heavenly announcement.
Amen.
The angel said to the shepherds, and they appeared to them in the heavens, the angels.
Mm-hmm.
Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of good news.
Amen.
To all people. Then those were the angels said to all people. He didn't say only to Israel.
Amen.
He said to all people.
Amen.
Go back and see what the angel said in chapter 2, verse.
Mm-hmm.
I bring you glad tidings of good joy, which is to all people.
Amen.
Those three wise men represent the three parts of the world and the nation.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
One of them was Ethiopian, real black and dark. I know. We don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to break it down because, you know, we get all tangled up here. Because, here, you know why our people don't like me? Because I tell them, That white picture they got in their church is not Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let's not confuse trying to make an image, a false image.
Mm-hmm.
That picture, okay to have a picture. But
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hang a picture up there with a person and say, this is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So she's painting a picture. That's not Jesus, that's a picture.
Amen.
So then the people ask me, Why Jesus always got to be white? I say, because that's not Jesus. Because that's not Jesus. That's a picture that a man painted. And probably, I said, that's not Jesus. They put it in their church. They got a photo. It said blue eyes, long hair, blonde hair. But she, I said, that's not Jesus. That's how people get confused with these images that man images. Now, I believe in pictures and photos. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try to tell me that Jesus is this and put a physical picture. People get confused.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I'm not confused. Because I worship in spirit and truth. I don't worship his physical body. I worship him in spirit and truth.
So
we get worship a physical thing, then we start to make images like they do in the Catholic Church and bow down to them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
We turn it from being just a picture to a portrait, we turn it to an image and begin to
mm-hmm.
bow and worship and begin to make a figurine like Mother Mary and Saint this and begin to pray. See, that's how we get into confusion with God. Don't make no image, no likeness, no form, no nothing to bow and worship. And the Roman Catholic is a perfect example.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Even the Christian church has got some things that they relate to being spiritual. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that. Got a few minutes left. Confirming in the mouth of two witnesses. We say on this radio, and we're going to show you how you can confirm whether a thing is of God and of scripture or of the devil or man.
Mm-hmm.
In the mouth of two, three witnesses. When Jesus was born, he gave two or three witnesses about his birth. Now, let's see. How he confirmed his ministry that he was the Son of God? What are the four things that he did that confirmed that he was the Son of God? I know all the other gods on earth, they claim to be this, all the religions. But how did Jesus confirm when he got 30 years old, time of his ministry, how did he confirm that he was actually the Holy Messiah and the very Son of God? I know the Muslims said God didn't have no son. Okay, whatever.
But how did Jesus, in the Hebrew scripture and ministry, how did he confirm, how did he affirm and prove that he was the very Son of the living God? You know, the first miracle that's recorded, and all the miracles and things that Jesus did, it's not in the abridged Bible. Listen, all of the acts and the words that Jesus spoke are not in those 66 books. Even though I believe the 66 books, what they call, are God's revelation, the truth. But Jesus started out in John, the first miracle that's recorded. He did miracles that's not recorded. They went to a wedding feast. It was out of wine. No, it's not the it's the wine that you go down the store and get drunk. Because a lot of people, it's okay. Jesus made wine. So I can go down to the store and get me some of that fermented wine, brother. God, man. Well, the devil is sicker than grease. So Jesus must have created a whole batter of wine so they could get drunk. Unfermentation and fermentation. What's the difference between fermentation and unfermentation? Okay. Now, let's see. He started out demonstrating that he had power to declare. And did how many people did Jesus restore their eyeballs, their legs, their limbs? How many people did he raise from the dead? And eyewitnesses were there. Eyewitnesses. He always witnessed it. Most of the cases, eyewitnesses. To confirm. Even the people who hated him, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they saw him do these wonders and miracles. Witnesses. Witnesses. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he didn't do it in secret. There were a multitude of people. A multitude was present when he commanded Lazarus to come forth in the 11th chapter of John. 4 days he's dead. All of these witnesses know people was at Lazarus' house and his house moaning for his death. And when Jesus showed up, he had been dead 4 days. Why did Jesus wait 4 days? He could have got there in one day.
That's
the reason.
He
had a plan and a purpose. He said, I do nothing but what my Father tells me. Jesus said, I do nothing. I said not a word that's not my Father's word. I don't do any act that is not my Father's doing it. He waited 4 days. And they said, he's stinking by now. He said, roll the stone away from the sepulchre. And he said a little short prayer. Father, I thank you that you always heal me. Now notice the prayer he prayed. Father, I don't pray. I do it for their sake. Those that are around that they may believe. I know that you always hear me. And he stepped back and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now all these hundreds of even 1,000 people were there to witness. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the women who were at the tomb, witnessing. When the soldiers who were guarding the tomb, they saw an angel roll the stone away, and they were afraid as dead men. Witnesses.
So
the women were the first one at the tomb of the sepulchre early on the first day. To the women. He appeared to his apostles
in the upper room of the room they're hiding, and they saw him. And he ate
mm-hmm.
before them to prove that he was
Amen.
Not a ghost or a spirit. He was a real
mm-hmm.
person.
Amen.
When he met them on the seashore and appeared to them after his resurrection and said,
mm-hmm.
have you any food or any meat? Let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
And he cooked and he ate
mm-hmm.
before them.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Witnesses.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 15 says he appeared to 500 people at one time. Witnesses.
Amen. Amen.
Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses.
Amen.
When he arose from the dead,
mm-hmm.
he did something that had never been done. He conquered death and the
Amen.
Grave and Satan.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Matthew 27, verse 50
Thank
to 53 you. Says, many,
Hallelujah.
Many bodies of the saints arose after
yes,
his
Lord.
Resurrection. And they
Amen.
Went and appeared to the in Jerusalem
Amen.
Uh-huh, witnesses. Witnesses.
Amen.
They saw Thank the risen
Jesus.
Saints. They
Amen.
Saw the risen saints. It
Amen.
Said they went and appeared, and they saw these risen
mm-hmm.
saints who had been dead.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Witnesses.
Good
witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
I said witness, confirming.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Infallible
Amen.
Proof.
Mm-hmm.
Infallible proof. Then Thomas, of one of his apostles, who was kind of skeptical when Jesus first appeared, he was not there. Then Thomas, later on, he appeared again.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I ain't going to believe until I see with my own eyes
mm-hmm.
that he's risen. And
Amen.
He told Thomas, come touch me. See, I'm
mm-hmm.
a real person. I'm not a ghost. I'm not imagination. And Thomas touched him in his side where he was wounded, touched his hand, and he said, my God,
mm-hmm.
my God.
Amen.
Witness
Amen.
The truth. When
mm-hmm.
he got ready to ascend to heaven after 40 days on the earth, in Book of Acts, his disciples saw him ascend to the heaven, witnesses. And the
Amen.
Angel said, where are you standing around gazing into the heaven?
Mm-hmm.
This same Jesus is coming
mm-hmm.
back again in like manner.
Amen.
Witnesses.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. When
Thank
he
you.
Dealt with Moses, how many witnesses did he give Moses that he was the great creator, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Amen.
Witnesses.
Amen.
Witnesses.
Amen.
Witnesses. How many
Amen.
Testimonies did he give to Pharaoh? 10 supernatural
mm-hmm.
miracles.
Amen.
They saw thousands of them went through the
mm-hmm.
Red Sea on dry
yes.
land. A witness. Affirmation, confirmation from heaven. Proof.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses. Now, how many miracles and deliverance has Allah and Muhammad and Buddha and Hindu and all of these guys did?
Not one.
Not one.
How many dead people they raised? How many eyeballs and legs they stored? How many life mm-hmm. there is to give? I ain't heard of
no.
one.
Mm-mm.
And did he conquer death? He's
Amen.
The great conquer
mm-hmm.
the grave and death.
Amen.
That I am the life and the resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
None of these so-called gods and religions, when Jesus in Matthew 20 says, all power,
mm-hmm.
all authority in
yeah.
heaven and earth, and it's under the earth, is in my power,
mm-hmm.
in my might.
Amen. Amen.
Witnesses. I said witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we close the time, almost ready, confirmation. When we tell people that the angel of Revelation 14 and 6, the one with the message of Jesus said, a cry is made at midnight, Matthew 25. When we tell people and declare to people,
mm-hmm.
this messenger to restore all
mm-hmm.
things has come. Now,
mm-hmm.
Well, it could be and it could not. Yeah, it could be and it could not be. But here's the way that he's going to testify to you if you're honest and humble and wants to know. But if
mm-hmm.
you won't just reject it without getting the confirmation from above, and you're just going to condemn it anyway without getting confirmation from above. Okay. You can do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I want to read you something before we go about the testimony of the man of Missouri. Apostle Scribe W.A. Drays, concerning this messenger of the covenant that is supposed to come and speak in these last days. When the messenger spoken of in Malachi 4, Revelation 14, 6, Matthew 17, the Elijah with the midnight cry in his coming, but the Drays, the recipient of this angel and the visitation, before he passed away, he left this testimony. And I want to read you what Brother Drake said, left on the record. Message 30, the prologue. Independence, Missouri, June 17, 1940. In all sincereness, this is what Brother Drake said, I make this solemn declaration before my Lord this day, he being my witness and also my judge. I expect to stand before the great and pleasing bar of God to answer for what I'm going to say in it. The manifestation, experiences, and the word of the vivid of the messenger, which is the messenger John, are true. I have seen him from time to time. I have heard his voice. I have seen his face. I have seen the light that accompanies him, which precede his appearance and remain that he leaves, sometimes for an hour or more. I have felt his touch on my shoulder, and in holding to my hand, I have been enwrapped in that wonderful heavenly and divine power of God. I want to make this statement that everyone may know that this is true. I do not fear the hereafter. I cannot and will not deny the things that have seen and heard from this heavenly source, the messenger of the Lord. As long as I have my right mind and God give me life and his grace to endure here on earth, I have been misunderstood by those who should have been my fellows. I may have failed in some things in the past. Still others make statements about me. I want this to be understood that this statement is true. And I should abide the advice and instruction given by the messenger, regardless of what man or men may say. The messenger wears a white robe. His hair is a tiny bit gold near his skin and blend to whiteness like pure wool, white as snow. His eyes are like flame and his feet like brightness of fine brass, as if they were ablaze. His voice has the sound of one having authority. His countenance is as the brightness of the sun with greatness and light, even brighter than the light that shines down on the earth. He's enwrapped or enveloped in light, and immediately around him is very bright. I wish all could see or feel the sweet power, influence that comes from this heavenly messenger. And went on, and surely all doubt would flee from the mind of natural man. Peace be to all. May the Lord will be done. These are my words today. And may the Spirit of God bear witness. Signed, W.A. Drays, the apostle and the scribe of the Lord. Now, confirmation. We'll continue tomorrow about the confirmation, how God confirms in the mouth of two witnesses all things. Love you, Jesus, your Lord. He is coming.
Amen.
Elijah is coming with the Elijah message, the midnight cry.
Amen.
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 Thank the Lord for another blessed broadcast. And as my brother said, we will be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So we love you all. May God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.